Okay, this morning we're going to have three prophets' corners today, but this first one is really, it's got a lot of scripture. So the title is Training for Reigning, and we're going to look at Luke 4 first. Like I said, it's good to have the fourth man in the fire. When you go into the fire, Jesus is with us in the fire. Luke 4 here, start with 1. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, so much of the time people think, you know, this could not be God. You think, oh, this is the devil. This is the devil, right? Said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So if he would have eaten bread, he would have disobeyed God, right? Kind of indicates that, right? And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them that is delivered unto me. No, you stole it. Delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So if Jesus would have said, okay, he would have given in to the ways of the world, right? And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. So if Jesus had not submitted to this, he wouldn't have been able to go out with Holy Ghost in power. All right, I'm going to read to you what the Lord began to speak to me. He said, I allowed my son to be tempted of the devil. He was in his training phase, even though he was trained his whole life. When he passed the test, he came out of the wilderness full of the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not sick, rather whatever area that might be. You're not sick. You're being tempted. But I'm overseeing it all. I did not tempt anyone. Just as I sent my son into the wilderness to be tempted, so I have sent you. Tempting tempers. Jesus was under severe pressure and discomfort. Peace makes the call, not the pressure. Be careful what you advise people, for you could be messing with what God is trying to do. What would have happened if Jesus had listened to the devil and buckled under the pressure? It certainly would have delayed the process. The thing about it is that we will just continue to take the test till we pass it. God is looking for a desired result, and when he sees it, he marks pass on it and says, well done, move to a higher level. Under any new elevation, there will first be an evaluation. That's pretty good, right? The Lord is thinking, will they buckle in the wilderness? If they buckle in the wilderness, they will buckle in the field. Avoid Job's wife at all costs when you are in this process. Those that advise you to do this and that for whatever you need to do it for. All right, this is Job. We're going to look at Job's wife. They say Job went through what he did for about 9 months to a year. All right, Job 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Now, I didn't read the first chapter when all the mishaps happened to him. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Job and his friends, they get beat up on him pretty badly. If you read all through there, it's pretty boring really actually, but that's what they do. They beat up on him and pressured him and accused him and all kinds of things. But Job, he didn't let it move him. What happened as a result of what Job went through? We're going to look at that. God gave him beauty for ashes. Job 42. 17. No, I didn't put all the scriptures. It starts with verse 10 here. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years. After this, 140 more years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even to 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So for whatever purpose, God allowed him to go through that, to be tempted of the devil, because he did. And he put up with all the stuff he put up with. In essence, he passed the test, and God blessed him because of it. All right. Was it hard for Job? He thought he was probably going to die, is what I figure. But he did pass the test, and man, look what was on the other side. You know, that's the part we have to look at, the other side. I felt that way too at times. Am I going to make it through this, Lord? Yeah. We all have. We've been there. But God's overseeing it right here. God knows what you're going through, and he knows what you can bear. God is overseeing your testing. I want to read to you. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13 out of the Amplified. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptational trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as a man can bear. But God is faithful to His word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, He will always also provide the way out, the means of an escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. He has an escape route. See, the problem is when you're using other things to escape this trial, you're not going to get God's escape route. Is He allowing you to go through this thing to test you, to see how you perform in the wilderness so He can release you into the field, the new level, the new place He wants you to come to? If you're still going the ways of the world and jumping out and doing all this stuff, try to get yourself out of the fire, you don't pass. Sorry. Like it or not, that's just the truth. He'll let you take it over and over and over and over. Here's Hebrews 13:6 of the Amplified. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?" This week I said to the Lord, I had some things come against me and I didn't really know what was happening, and it scared me. And I had to pray in the Spirit for quite a while. The Holy Spirit said this to me, "Child, calm down. You're being tested. There's nothing wrong." And it just, peace. Peace. Philippians 4:13. This is also an Amplified. I'm thinking, I need to go back to the Amplified. It's gone. "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I don't have to go the way of the world or act like the world to try to get something off of me." It says right here, I have Christ's sufficiency. The escape plan is on the inside, not the outside. Now, He may lead you to something on the outside. Don't get me wrong. But He wants you to ask Him. And then He can tell you, take this, do that, whatever. Go here, go there. But you're missing the point. It's asking Him. This come aside and look inside. All right. God is watching. He is observing where you are in the process. He has had you focusing on pulling aside and looking inside. We walk from the inside. See, the walk of faith is not an outside walk. It is an inside walk. In fact, the kingdom of God is inside of you. The kingdom of God is inside. It's not anything out here. Now, it's going to manifest out here, but it's not. It's in you. If you choose to make an escape for yourself, do you think God is going to side in with that? In God's plan, it is done God's way. See, if we're submitting to God's plan, then we do it God's way, right? I mean, I'll tell you what, if you decide you're going to go out for sports and the coach tells you to run this play, do it this way, and you do it your own way, you're going to be out, aren't you? Okay. James. Chapter 1. I figured Jesus thought He was dying too. 40 days with nothing to eat. I went about 3 days and had very little to eat and thought I was just not going to be able to make it. So you think, you can get to thinking, is this the end? All right, this is James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now let me tell you something right here that was a revelation to me. It's because of your lust. These earthly things, these things that are not subject to God, that's the only way Satan could get at us, to tempt us, right? Think about that. That's why the tempering process, we've got things in us that still need to be worked out of us. And God allows us to be tempted, to be tempered, so that those things, evidently Jesus had some things that needed to be worked out of him before he could be fully released, right? If he had to have those things worked out, how much more so do we have to have those things worked out of us? Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. See, even with Job, it was what God allowed the devil to do. He told him, don't take his life. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, that's the area that you're tempted in. He don't tempt you where you're strong. You ever notice that? Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. See, we're going from glory to glory, being transformed to his image. That image is Jesus. That's the standard. Here's the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary. Tempering means mixing and qualifying. Qualifying by mixture. Softening or mollifying. Mollifying means to make soft or tender. Reducing to a state of moderation and hardening. So he's taking us from these areas that we are got a lot of mixture. And he's tempering us, turning the heat up. That's how you temper. You turn up the heat. In that heat, he begins to be able to, we become soft. He began to start molding us. You know, talking about the tree with the wild branches? Yeah. Lord continues, I'm allowing this process into your life. You must go through this process for me to be able to use you for what I have called you to do. I am overseeing it all. Yes, I'm standing there. So quit rebuking me. Get that one. Quit rebuking me. Stop rebuking me. Stop rebuking me. Stop rebuking me. I have given you authority and power of the devil, but in your training process and tempering process, this does not apply unless I give you the words to speak. I gave my son the answers to Satan's temptations as was needed. Okay, I'll read it again. Lord continues, I'm allowing this process into your life. You must go through this process for me to be able to use you for what I've called you to do. I'm overseeing it all. Yes, I'm standing there. So quit rebuking me. It's like Balaam with the donkey. I think I even wrote that passage down. We might look at that. I've given you authority and power of the devil, but in your training process and tempering process, this does not apply unless I give you the words to speak. I gave my son the answers to Satan's temptations as was needed. He responded when he was supposed to respond with the words God gave him to respond to the devil with. Not just, I rebuke you and I bind you and I send you to the pit. I've heard people, you know, pray that kind of stuff. I mean, it's, to me, Christian rote. Because we don't know what to do and we're just trying everything but the kitchen sink. All right, 2 Peter 2. See, Balaam was mad at the donkey, whipping the donkey and the angel. The Lord was standing there with a sword. By God opening the donkey's mouth, saved his life. Why are you hitting me? Why are you punishing me? I'm trying to save your life. When the angel was ready to stick him with the sword, take him out. All right, 2 Peter 2, 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. All right. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against him before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive their word of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. See, these are worldly people. These are just doing anything and everything, and a lot of them are church folks even. You know, the sipping saints and whatever. It's kind of like Keith Moore. Well, we just do a little witchcraft. We don't do a whole lot. I would just take a few drugs, not a whole lot, you know. Whatever. Having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, begotten unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. See, he was a prophet of the Lord, but he kept bouncing back and forth. He was compromised by these Baal worshipers. They were pressuring him to perform. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is wrought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For had it been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. Now you can understand God's tempering process. There is a reason to it. He doesn't want you like that, back and forth. All right, the tempering process is that you will not return to your old ways when coming into the fire. It is working it's working emotions out of you. You're being refined. Okay, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures on being refined. This is Isaiah 43:10 is the first one. Yeah, I'd venture to say in many occasions we're rebuking the devil, and it's the Lord standing there overseeing a refining process. 43:10. That's why we need to get the word of the Lord, okay, in this situation. What do I speak, Lord? I tell you what, when the Lord gives you words to speak, it moves heaven and earth. When we do our sounds nice, maybe it pieces our flesh a little bit, makes us feel better, but nothing happens. It's all a bunch of flesh. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Wait a minute, is that the right one? That's what it says. 43:10. All right. There's only one God. There is no other. There aren't two gods. Okay. Zechariah 13. Verse 9. After doing all that praying this week, I had this all set, and then the Lord started giving me several more pages, so I had to go back and redo it all because it just started flowing. See, that's what happens when you tap into the Spirit. It flows. All right, 13:9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Not one day Baal's my God, and the next day Jehovah is? Uh-uh. Don't work that way. It is not about quantity with God. It's obvious this morning, isn't it? It is about quality, not quantity. Think about Gideon's army. One can chase 1,000, two, 10,000. When he can get people listening to him and going his way and doing it his way, one person could do, like he said, 1,000. Two together, 10,000. He changed that in the New Testament. If any two agree as touching anything on earth that they shall ask, it shall be done of them, my Father who is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. In the midst of them. All right, 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm going to be bringing some stuff in a later word on this. We don't entangle ourselves with the other affairs. I mean, I'm not saying don't pay your bills and stuff like that. I'm just talking about if we're recruited as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, his business is top priority. Enduring hardness is a method I've chosen to train my warriors. So few find their way here. Most do not even pass the test. Most give up saying that it is just too hard. They jump out of the frying pan and into the fire. At first there is relief, but later they experience a life of emptiness and unfulfillment. This process is temporary and it will come to an end. Did it come to an end for Jesus? Yes, it did. And it will for you. Okay, a few more scriptures. Matthew 19. We must always ask, is God standing there? I learned that many years ago, that when I'd done all I knew to do and it didn't go away, God must be standing there. And he was going to make me stay in that situation until he refined me and worked the dross and could skim it off the top like they do with purifying metals. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. Everybody wants out of the fire, but sometimes he won't let us out. Matthew 19:16. Well, like I said, with the Hebrew children, the fourth man in the fire. The Lord was with them in the fire. All right. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, someone that depends on his own riches. And again I say unto you, if it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Peter goes on to say, well, Lord, I've forsaken everything and followed you. And what shall we say therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit eternal life. So what we submit to, God is saying, I'll pay you back. You'll be rewarded, like Job. Those that pay the price win the prize. The Lord has chosen us for a high calling. But we have to be trained for that high calling. We're not going to just do it the way we've done it and get by. I'm talking about in the past. All right, Philippians 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To attain the benefits of this high calling, it is not instantaneous. High calling is a higher level in me. All right, Matthew 11, 12. Higher calling. You know why most people don't attain to the kingdom of God? Right here, Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Not the passive. Not the ones that buckle under pressure. But those that are aggressive. You're going to have to take it. You know why? Because an enemy's stolen it. Everything God made for you right on this earth, it's perfect and whole and sound. The devil stole it all. So by force, you have to take it. You have to take it. It's yours by right. God gave it to you by right. We understand that with the Constitution and the natural government, but God's government is what prevails here. All right. With each new level comes a new level devil. You will fight your way to the top. The things I experienced this week were real similar to when I first went on television. So that tells me we're promoting. We're coming to a new level. You will fight your way to the top. I believe that we will go through several of these refining moments in God as God promotes us. From time to time, when you reach a certain level and He calls you up higher, you'll go through certain things where you're going to have to force your way into the kingdom of God, and it may be discomfort with it. Thank the Lord He doesn't do it all at once. Most of us would not be able to handle that. We just deal with just a little bit that we're dealing with now, thinking we're not going, oh, Lord, you know. So, anyway, Acts 14, 22. This statement, just the latter part of that. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. All right, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, right quick. I believe the Holy Spirit said to me, relax, daughter. He said, relax, daughter. Because I had fear coming against me. I was just like a cat on a hot tin roof. I couldn't be still, couldn't eat, couldn't anything. And I'd prayed for a couple hours, and I remember He spoke those words to me, and it was like all the, it left. So I encourage you during the process, praying in the Spirit. The more you can, the better you'll get through the process. And you'll get answers, so you'll understand what's going on, and it takes the fear away. Sometimes the discomfort too. All right, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few will pay the price, like Gideon's army. Few will pay the price. Yeah. It is up to you. If you want the higher life and the higher calling, then you will have to take the narrow path to obtain it. Complaining or reigning, the choice is yours. I'm with you in this process, but binding it and loosing it and all of that will not stop the process or loose it unless I sanction it. I'm standing there. Rebuking the process will not get it off of you. Praise your way through it, for it will get you far, and maintain a thankful heart always. It is easier to stick with the process and get through it so you can attain a higher level in my plan for you. Allow me to work and get you ready for greatness. You can always call on my grace, for I will give it to you and to help you. Guard your words carefully. With more power in your life comes a greater responsibility to use them wisely. You do not want to aid and abet the enemy. I have told you in the last few months that you are not far from finish. When you are, I will let you know more later, your wonderful, loving, awesome Heavenly Father. Okay, let's read that because it was a good one. Isaiah 43:2. Another one of them things. Let me write it down here first. Okay, Isaiah what? 43. Hot up here. All right, 43:1-2. Yeah, that's a good one, but I don't think that's what I wanted. It was about the refining process. Right here, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Yeah. And verse 5 says, fear not, for I'm with thee. So, yeah, that works. All right.